great fruit in souls. And for a long time, whenever Brother John followed the path in the forest where the blessed feet of Christ had passed, he saw the same wonderful light and breathed the same sweet odor. When Brother John came back to himself after this vision, though the corporal presence of Christ had disappeared, his mind was so enlightened and so imbued with divine wisdom that although he was not a learned man or versed in human studies, he explained most wonderfully the most difficult questions on the Holy Trinity and the profound mysteries of Holy Writ. And when speaking before the Pope, the Cardinals, the King, the Barons, the Masters, and Doctors, they were surprised at his supplying discourse and at the words of wisdom which he pronounced. Chapter 50. How Brother John of Alvernia, when saying Mass on the Day of All Souls, saw many souls liberated from purgatory. As Brother John was saying Mass on the day after All Saints for the souls of the dead, as the Church has ordered, he offered with such charity and such compassion the Holy Sacrifice, with the dead desire above all else we can give them, that he seemed to be overwhelmed and consumed by the ardor of the feelings which filled his heart. And when he lifted up the body of Christ and devoutly offered it to God the Father, entreating him for the love of his blessed Son, Jesus Christ, who had died on the cross for the souls of men, to deliver from the pains of purgatory the souls of the dead which he had created and redeemed, he saw immediately an immense number of souls go out from purgatory, like innumerable sparks of fire coming out of a burning oven. And he saw them go up to heaven through the merits of the Passion of Christ, who was daily offered for the living and the dead in that most holy sacrifice, which is worthy to be adored forever and ever. Chapter 51. Of the Holy Brother James of Faleron, and how after his death he appeared to Brother John of Alvernia. At the time when Brother James of Faleron, a man of great sanctity, was dangerously ill in the convent of Mogliano in the custody of Fermo, Brother John of Alvernia, who was then living in the convent of Massa, hearing of his illness and loving him as his dear father, began to pray for him, imploring God most devoutly in prayer to restore to Brother James the health of the body, if such were for the good of his soul. As he prayed, he was wrapped in ecstasy, and he saw in the air a great army of angels and saints above his cell, which was in the forest. They were surrounded by such splendor and glory that all the country round was illuminated. Among the angels he saw the said Brother James, for whom he was praying, clothed in white and shining raiment. He saw also the Holy Father, St. Francis, with the sacred stigmata of Christ on his hands and feet, most glorious. He likewise beheld Brother Lucido, the Holy, and Brother Matthew of Monte Rubiano, and many other brothers whom he had neither seen nor known in this life. And as he contemplated with great delight that holy band of saints, it was revealed to him that the sick brother for whom he had been praying would die of the disease whereof he was lying ill, and that his soul would be saved, but that he would not go straight to heaven after death, as it was necessary he should be purified for a time in purgatory. And this revelation made to Brother John filled his heart with such joy that he did not grieve over the death of Brother James, but experienced great sweetness in his soul, and he said with himself, Brother James, my sweet father, Brother James, my sweet brother, Brother James, faithful servant and friend of God, Brother James, companion of the angels and one of the army of saints. And as he was thus rejoicing, he came to himself, and leaving the convent immediately, he went to visit Brother James at Mogliano, and found him so much worse that he could hardly speak. Then he announced to him the death of his body and the salvation and glory of his soul, of which he was certain, through divine revelation. And Brother James received him most joyfully, thanking him for the good news he brought, and praying him devoutly not to forget him. Brother John begged him after death to come to him and tell him where he was and how it fared with him, which Brother James promised to do if it should please the Lord. The moment of his death approaching, Brother James began to repeat with great devotion the verse of the psalm, In pace in idipsum dormien it requiescam, which signifieth, I will go to sleep in peace and will rest in life eternal. And having said these words, he left this world with joyful countenance. When he was buried, Brother John returned to the convent of Massa, and there awaited the accomplishment of the promise of Brother James that he would appear to him after death. As he was in prayer on that same day, Christ the Blessed One appeared to him, surrounded by a multitude of angels and saints, but Brother James was not with them, which thing greatly surprised Brother John, who recommended him most devoutly to Christ the Blessed. The following day, as he was again praying in the forest, Brother James appeared in the company of angels, his countenance beaming with joy. And Brother John said to him, O most dear Father, why didst thou not appear to me on the day thou promised? Brother James answered, Because it was necessary that I should be purified in purgatory. But at the same hour that Christ appeared to thee, and in which thou didst recommend me to him, he granted thy prayer, and I was freed from all suffering. And I appeared to Brother James of Massa, a holy lay brother who was serving Mass. And I saw the consecrated host, when the priest lifted it up, changed into a beautiful living child. And I said to him, This day I shall go with him to life eternal, where none can go without him. And having said these words, Brother James disappeared and went up to heaven with the holy company of angels, and Brother John was greatly comforted. The said Brother James of Fallerone died on the vigil of St. James the Apostle in the month of July in the above-named convent of Mogliano, and through his merits the divine goodness wrought many miracles after his death. Chapter 52 Of the Vision of Brother John of Alvernia, by which he became acquainted with all the order of the Holy Trinity. The said Brother John of Alvernia, having renounced all worldly joys and temporal consolations, and having placed all his hope and love in God, the divine bounty granted him many consolations, especially in the days which commemorated some act of Christ, the Blessed One. As the Nativity of Christ was approaching, in which he expected some great consolation from God, the Holy Spirit filled his heart with such love to Christ, who had humbled himself so as to take upon him our humanity, that it seemed truly as if his soul were a burning furnace, and the great love which consumed his heart agitated him so violently that he could not resist the ardor of the Holy Spirit or refrain from crying out. At the same time that he experienced this great fervor, he felt such a security of his salvation that it seemed to him, had he died at that moment, that he would not have suffered in purgatory. And this state lasted 6 months, though he felt not always the same degree of fervor, but it increased at certain hours of the day. During that time he received many wonderful visitations and consolations from God, and was often wrapped in ecstasy, as was seen by the brother who wrote these things. One night especially he was so wrapped in God that he saw in him all things created, both celestial and terrestrial, with all their perfections and their various orders and decrees, and he knew most clearly how everything created presents itself to its Creator, and how God is above and within and around all things created. He was made acquainted likewise with one God in three persons, and three persons in one God, and the infinite love which made the Son of God to become man out of obedience to the Father. He was likewise informed in this vision how there is no other way by which the soul can go to God and have eternal life but through Christ the Blessed One, who is the way, the truth, and the life of the soul. Chapter 53 How, while he was saying Mass, Brother John of Alvernia fell down as if he had been dead. A most wonderful thing befell the said Brother John in the above-mentioned convent of Mogliano, as is related by the brethren who were present. The first night after the octave of St. Lawrence, and within the octave of the Assumption of Our Lady, having said Matins in the church with other brethren, the unction of God's grace coming upon him, he went into the garden to meditate on the Passion of Christ, and prepare himself most devoutly to celebrate Mass, which it was his turn to sing that morning. As he was meditating on the words of the consecration of the body of Christ and contemplating the boundless charity of Jesus, who not only bought us with his precious blood, but left his body and his blood as food for our souls, the love of sweet Jesus so filled his heart that he could not contain himself and cried out several times, "Hoc est corpus meum." As he said these words, Christ, the Blessed One, appeared to him with the Virgin Mary and a multitude of angels, and the Spirit of God made known to him high mysteries of that great sacrament. When day dawned, he entered the church, so absorbed by all he had seen that he repeated aloud the above words, with great fervor of spirit, believing that he was not seen or heard by anyone, but there was a brother praying in the choir who saw and heard everything. And he remained in this state till the hour came to say Mass. He approached the altar and began the sacrifice. As he proceeded, his heart so overflowed with love to Christ, and the sensation he experienced was so ineffable that he could not express it in words, and he was in doubt whether he ought to leave off the celebration of Mass or to go on. The same thing having happened to him before, and the Lord having moderated the sensation so that he was enabled to finish the sacrifice, trusting that he would do so again, he proceeded with great fear and trembling. When he arrived at the preface of Our Lady, the divine illumination and the sensation of ardent love towards God so increased in his heart that when he reached the Qui Credi, he could scarcely resist any longer. When he came to the consecration and had pronounced over the host half of the words, that is to say, Hoc est, it was quite impossible for him to go on, but he repeated over and over the same words, Hoc est enim. And the reason why he could not proceed was that he saw before him Christ himself with a multitude of angels, and he could not endure his majesty. He saw that Christ would not enter the host, nor would it be changed into the body of Christ, unless he pronounced the other words of the consecration, namely, Corpus meum. Being greatly perplexed and unable to go on, the guardian, with the other brothers, and the people who were in the church to hear Mass, approached the altar and stood amazed, seeing and considering the actions of Brother John, and many were moved to tears by his devotion. At last, after a long time, it pleased God that Brother John should pronounce in a loud voice the words, Enim corpus meum. And immediately the form of bread was changed, and Jesus Christ the Blessed One appeared in the host in his bodily shape and in great glory, showing thereby the humility and charity which made him to take the flesh of the Virgin Mary, and which now places him daily in the hands of the priest when he consecrates the host. By this, Brother John was raised to a state of contemplation yet sweeter, insomuch that when he had elevated the host in the consecrated chalice, he was ravished out of himself, and all corporeal sensations being suspended, his body fell back. If he had not been supported by the guardian who was behind him, he would have fallen to the ground, and all the friars with the men and women who were in the church gathering round him, he was carried to the sacristy as if dead. For his body was quite cold and his fingers so stiffened that they could neither be opened nor moved. And in this state he remained till the third hour, as it was summer. When he came back to himself, I, who was present, feeling a great desire to know what he had experienced, went to him and begged him for the love of God to tell me everything. As he greatly trusted me, he related all that had happened to him, and amongst other things he told me that, as he was consecrating the body and blood of Christ, his soul seemed to melt within him like wax, and his body to be without bones, so that he could not lift his arms or his hands or make the sign of the cross on the host or on the chalice. He told me likewise that before he became a priest, it had been revealed to him by God that he should faint away when saying Mass. But having said many Masses, and in no such thing having yet happened to him, he thought that the revelation did not come from God. Nevertheless, about 50 days before the Assumption of Our Lady, when this thing befell him, it had been again revealed to him by God that it should so happen to him about the time of the Feast of the Assumption. But this vision or revelation from our Lord he did not call to mind at the moment. Of the sacred and holy stigmata of St. Francis and certain considerations thereon. In this part, we will treat with sundry devout considerations of the glorious sacred and holy stigmata of our blessed Father St. Francis, which he received from Christ on the holy mountain of Alvernia. And inasmuch as the said stigmata were five, according to the five wounds of our Lord Jesus Christ, therefore this treatise shall have five considerations. The first consideration shall be of the manner in which St. Francis came to the holy mountain of Alvernia. The second consideration shall be of his life and conversation with his companions on the same holy mountain. The third consideration shall be of the seraphical apparition and the impression of the most sacred stigmata. The fourth consideration shall be of the descent of St. Francis from Mount Alvernium after he had received the sacred stigmata, and of his return to St. Mary of the Angels. The fifth consideration shall be of certain apparitions and divine revelations vouchsafed after the death of St. Francis to certain holy friars and other devout persons concerning these sacred and glorious stigmata. Of the first consideration of the sacred holy stigmata. Concerning the first consideration, be it known that in the year 1224, being in his 43rd year, St. Francis went by the inspiration of God from the valley of Spoleto in Romagna, taking with him Brother Leo as his companion, and on their way they passed by the castle of Montefeltro, where there was a great concourse of people and a solemn banquet held, by reason that one of the counts of Montefeltro was that day to receive his knighthood. And when St. Francis heard of this solemnity, and that many gentlemen of various countries were gathered together there, he said to Brother Leo, "Come, let us go up unto this festival, for by God's help we shall gather therefrom rich spiritual fruit." Now among other men of high degree who had come together to this feast, there was a certain gentleman of Tuscany who was both rich and mighty. He was called Orlando da Husi da Castatino, and for the marvelous things which he had heard concerning the holiness and the miracles of St. Francis, he bore him great devotion, and had an exceeding desire to see him and to hear him preach. St. Francis then, being come to this castle, entered into the courtyard where all those gentlemen were assembled, and in fervor of spirit he mounted on a low wall and began to preach, choosing for the theme of his discourse these words in the vulgar tongue: "So great is the joy which I expect, that all pain is joy to me." And upon this theme, by the direction of the Holy Ghost, he preached so profoundly and so devoutly, proving it by the diverse pains and sufferings of the holy apostles and martyrs, and by the manifold tribulations and temptations of holy virgins and other saints, that all the multitude of men hung upon his words, both with their ears and hearts, hearkening to him as to an angel of God, among whom the said Orlando, being touched in heart by God through the marvelous preaching of St. Francis, was led to speak to him after sermon, touching the state of his soul. So taking him aside, he said to him, "O Father, I would fain take counsel with thee concerning the salvation of my soul." St. Francis answered him, "It pleaseth me well, but go now and pay respect to thy friends, who have bidden thee to this feast, and dine with them, and after dinner we will speak together as much as it shall please thee." Orlando therefore went to dine, and after dinner, returning again to St. Francis, he discoursed with him at length concerning the state of his soul, and in the end he said to him, "I have a mountain in Tuscany, a devout and solitary place, called Mount Alvernia, far from all discourse of men, well fitted for one who would do penance for his sins, or who desires to lead a solitary life. If it please thee, I will freely give it to thee and thy companions for the welfare of my soul." When St. Francis heard of this bountiful offer of a thing which he had greatly desired, he was exceeding glad, and thanking and praising God in the first place, and after him Orlando, he thus replied, "Orlando, as soon as thou shalt have returned to thy home, I will send to thee some of our brethren, to whom thou shalt show this place, and if it shall seem to them well fitted for prayer and penance, I will at once accept thy charitable offer." Having said thus, St. Francis departed, returning to St. Mary of the Angels, and Orlando likewise returned to his castle.